Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 108. Nothing to whine about. I'm John, and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Again, nothing to whine about this week, I suppose, you know. Just a nice week.
Yeah.
Obviously, other games to look forward to coming up, but we'll discuss that during the pod.
Yep. So obviously we're here to go over the final week of the regular season win over the San Francisco Wingbacks, which saw the Rams come out 21-20 winners. Andy, first before we go, and there'll be context to why. Can I just check, Andy, am I allowed to wear this jersey anymore? Or are we boycotting it?
I don't know. I think you're supporting the enemy there now, aren't you?
I better check, you know, before I like continue the podcast in case I need to go get changed.
Yeah, you know, I think you need to get that off and get changed.
Burn that, I guess. No. Yeah. We'll get to that later, folks. There'll be context behind that. So the Rams obviously travelled to the Denham Stadium to take on the Winers, who said they were resting all of their starters, but didn't they rest as many as they made out to be, did they, Andy?
No, again, I think much like us, mate, there's only so many on your 53 that you can rest and obviously bring up from the practice squad as well. So, you know, there were still a fair few starters, you know, in the game, you know, and much the same as us, you know, we only rested, what, four or five guys? And then obviously took Puka out later on in the game once, you know, he did some thing. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't important anyway, so.
We'll maybe work out as we go through, but yeah.
Yeah, there's something, but I can't remember. It's not important anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
He's only a fifth round pick, who cares?
Exactly, he's a nobody, yeah, you know, he's nothing. You know. Anyway, going into this game, we obviously expected it to be a tough one, regardless of who played and who didn't play. It's goes without saying that we're absolutely delighted, aren't we, Andy, to have gone there and beaten them?
Yeah, you know, especially as, you know, at the end of, you know, the first half, it kind of felt like the game was pretty much over and done with them. You know, it was going to be another loss, you know, and then the team came out second half, made some adjustments, obviously, with the personnel and sort of the game plan a little bit. And, you know, we held them to, all right, it's their backups. I'm not going to pretend it was something, you know, amazing, but we held them to 0 points for the second half and,
exactly, you know,
managed to get the win. Obviously, there's still a few worrying things in the game. Obviously, you know, kicking issues, but same can be said for them as well, you know. But it was just nice to walk out with the win, see the fans a little bit annoyed, you know, walking out of the Denham Stadium, you know, and if nothing else, you know, God forbid injuries, that, you know, there are some players even, you know, on the bench who can come in and step in and maybe have some roles, as we've seen throughout the season with the likes of DeMarcus Robinson.
Yep. Considering last year where, like, we had that many guys out injured, that it was literally the backups playing week in, week out. Fast forward into this season, all the guys that have came in and out of the team, and it's not been just due to injury. I guess it's been due to kind of like rotation, you know, for snaps and whatnot. Everybody, for the most part, have performed above expectations, let's put it that way. And I think Sunday was a really good showcase for the guys that were getting a chance to step up. You know, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who plays. Like, the Winers could have had, like, loads of injury issues and be forced to play the guys they played, you know, against us. Darnold was playing the week before. You know, Samuel was out there as well, you know, for example. Like, so it's not like they've got, like, poor guys that are in there.
No, you know, they had Tre'Davious Ward out there. They had Chase Young out there. You know, that they still had quite a lot of big, supposedly star name players, and you know, on some of it, you know, some of our players, you know, made them look like average players.
Yeah, you know, basically that, what I'm saying is that they immediately went into, oh, but you beat our backups, you beat up the reserves. We didn't. Yeah. We beat you. End of.
We beat your 53, just like
Exactly. That's who you chose to play. That's the team. You can only beat the teams in front of you. It doesn't matter who's on that team.
So basically we'll big say, okay, our B team's better than your B team. There you go.
Well, that's it. That's the other way of looking at it. You're absolutely right there, Andy, that considering everything that's been said about this Rams roster, pre-season and throughout the season, right up to this week, the Rams roster is in much better condition than anyone out there. And that probably includes a lot of our own fan base because, you know, dialing it back, we were like, there's a lot of potential it could come out of a year, but it's potential to plan for next year. Whereas the potential that we've realised is that we've got the potential to surprise and upset people and upset anyone who comes up against us.
Yeah, you know, I think the analysts put it right, is teams don't want to come up against us. Even Kyle Shanahan himself, you know, in his interview said, the Rams are a team you don't want to come up against because of how well they're playing and how organised they are. And, you know, he did shout out McVay and Stafford as, you know, two guys, you know, the leadership qualities, Raheem Morris's leadership qualities, you know. So the fact that your opposing coach, you know, who hates your guts, still, you know, points out they're a team to, you know. And we're going into the playoffs much, to be honest, like Green Bay. We weren't supposed to be there. This is supposed to be our year of win rebuild, you know, rebuild and assessment year, basically, if you like. You know, for Green Bay, it's right, is Jordan Love the guy to move forward? For us, it was right, we've got a bunch of second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. You know, we'll assess how they are and then we'll move into free agency and the draft next year when we have the capital and we have the draft, you know, the draft capital and the cash to be able to spend. You know, so we've got nothing to lose. We can be as aggressive and whatever because we aren't supposed to be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Every analyst at the start of the year was like, yeah, the Rams will be picking top five, top three, whatever. You know, there was no analyst who said we'd be, you know, including myself, I didn't think, you know, we'd be anywhere near where we are now. So we can go into the playoff game with an attitude of, well, we ain't supposed to be here. We've got nothing to lose. Let's go for it. And I think we saw some of that against the Niners where, you know, on a lot of fourth downs, it was, yeah, we'll go for it, go for it. You know, we're getting I think McVay is getting the team into that mentality of it's playoffs now, let's just go for it and we'll see what happens.
All or nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
All in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's like you said, the caption that the team are going with is we're here for it. Like, we're we're not here to make up the numbers, you know, despite all of our expectations. You know, I think a lot of us, especially when people open their predictions, you'd have been struggled to find a lot of people putting us as having a winning record. Now, I have seen people that have reposted like tweets and posts they've put out at the start of the season where they said, like, I think the Rams will have a winning record, you know, and that's great that there's a lot of members of the fan base that did have that optimism. Now, we were optimistic about we could go out and we could get a good amount of wins, but I personally have been absolutely surprised at how well, you know, we've done to finish 10-7, double digits of wins, like 7-1 post bye. The only team that beat us were the Ravens. The only team. You know, and
we held them to a close game.
If you look at who we played pre-bye, and you've got like the likes, well, we played the Niners obviously last week there, but played them, Dallas, Green Bay, Eagles. Philly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, am I right in saying that the Bucks and the Lions are the only teams that we haven't played that are in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. Bucks and the Lions are the only two teams we've not played.
The other five teams. And I think I put this out on the Twitter. I think it was in Discord actually. I said it. I think that we've played seven teams overall that are in the playoffs. Yep, seven teams that are in the playoffs. Oh no, I forgot Sam. I have to look up the Discord later on that. But I've forgotten the stat. Look, I didn't forget that. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought. I put it in Discord the other day and was all excited about because it was another one like praising how well the Rams have done. But I think the stat was along the lines of saying about the likes of like what the Eagles have just fallen shit, basically. You know, I think they've lost five of the last six, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think the Giants was the only team they beat post bye.
And then they got punched in the mouth this week.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's saying like, so like the Cowboys as well. I think Green Bay are the only other team that they were kind of suggesting that, well, they're actually more on the up than, you know, kind of plateauing or on the downwards. And they were basically more us than Green Bay, but kind of I've seen people starting to say that watch out for the Rams in Green Bay because like they have nothing to lose. They're not expected to be here. They're not here, but they're not here equally to make up the numbers.
No, I will say the Bucs have just got in there because their division is garbage this year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a case of one of the winners had to come through, but you're not scared, I think, of them because they're not playing very well at all. So, you know. But, you know, we made it. We've got there and, you know, let's just see what happens over the next, you know, next week. And only snag is it's a very early morning game for us, so it's going to be a long night. And I think at the moment, John is frozen, unfortunately.
Could you still hear me, though? No? I was trying to No, I'm gone. Sorry. My bad. I could still hear you fine there. I was trying to scroll through Discord to find what I was looking for there. Yeah, just before we may obviously move on to talk about, you know, the upcoming, you know, wildcard weekend and our matchup with the Lions, couple of things we should maybe kind of single out. First of all, let's start with Carson Wentz, who we've obviously got a proper look at. Up to now, all we've seen is like, I think, one series where he basically handed the ball off three times, banded it off twice and pitched it once. So, Andy, thoughts on Carson Wentz's performance starting against the Winers?
Yeah, I don't think he did too bad. You know, he was efficient. He got the job done, you know. I don't think Stafford will be telling him to keep those running plays in the QB runs, though, in the playbook somehow. I think that'll be a case of, yeah, see all that garbage, get it out. I'm not doing none of that lark. But, you know, I thought he was competent. You know, he was very much, I think, McVay put him on the radar for teams either to come back for us next year as a backup.
Yeah.
Or potentially, you know, for a team in the draft that hasn't got a high enough pick to maybe pick up, one of the prospects out of the draft to potentially one of those veterans that can maybe be re-signed again as a bridge player. So if nothing else, you know, he's put him on the radar for other teams as well that maybe, you know, need a quarterback that actually in the right sort of scheme he can still do the job, you know, but hopefully he doesn't get picked up and maybe we can keep him as a backup to Stafford, you know.
So would you say that he has a he would make a good backup for us?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's proved that this week. You know, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was a prototypical quality backup / bridge starter, sort of, you know, very much upon the lines of, you know, Flacco and Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, let's be honest, he played better than some of the starting quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, I think he has put himself a little bit. And I think in credit to both, and I hate crediting Shanahan for anything, but I think both McVay and Shanahan this week, I've put a lot of, you know, even Sam Darnold, I've put these guys on teams' radars again of actually these guys can still play, you know, that they're never going to be, you know, your Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford's sort of, you know, start, you know, level of player, but that they're competent enough that they can, with the right offense, get you wins and, you know, get you through a season as a bridge.
Yeah.
Like I say, hopefully he'll stay with us. You know, nobody will want him and we can maybe keep him as his backup, and I'd be happy to keep him as a backup.
Yeah. Just looking at his stats, he was 17 for 24. 163, two touchdowns and interception. He also led us in rushing this week. 17 carries, breaking the record for most rushes by a Rams quarterback since
1950.
50, wasn't it? Yeah. 17 for 56 and a touchdown. One thing I will say about him was I think you could kind of sum up his performances that his performance that he basically left nothing out there because he was willing to just, you know, run the legs off himself and do whatever he could. I mean, there was one play, fourth quarter, it was that contentious sack or no sack play where he basically tossed the ball to Rivers, obviously Evans, Rivers, I think it was, to basically save the sack. You know, that quick thinking from him was like, you know, it showed that the guy can still perform.
Yeah.
You know, and he would make a good addition to any roster.
Yeah, so some of the passes he was putting around, you know, he had the one to Davis Allen, which is right in the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, we had the obviously touchdown pass to Puka. He had the touchdown pass to Tyler Johnson. You know, they were tight window. He was making some really tight window throws and, you know, bang on targets, back shoulders, etc., right where the ball had to be. Obviously, it's difficult for backups because, you know, he's not getting the reps week in, week out with these players, first team players.
But the fact
that he came in, looked competent, was making some, you know, might be funny, some wow throws that were Stafford-esque, you know, a couple of sidearm throws and what have you. You know, I do think that if he doesn't get picked up, I'd be more than happy to, like I said, to keep him with the team as a competent, because we all know Stafford does have an injury history, and it would be nice that we could have, you know, obviously we don't know what's happening with Stetson Bennett, but I still think even if Stetson Bennett comes back, I think Wentz should be QB2 basically, if possible, and keep him where he is, and just, you know, he's emergency break glass sort of guy that, you know, could keep us, you know, if Stafford's maybe injured for a week or two, he could keep us in games and, you know, potentially scrape those wins, or, you know, a win and a loss maybe out of two games. Whereas with Stetson Bennett, or who we've had previously with Walter Perkins, it was, oh geez, this is a loss. You know,
Stafford's out for two weeks,
basically two losses.
Yep. I would definitely, after seeing him this week, I would definitely make the case for trying at least to keep him as our backup quarterback. I think he showed, you know, enough grit and determination. And what was technically a game that you could say is meaningless, although every game against them, regardless of what's going on in the season, is not meaningless, folks. I'm not saying it is. Just mean, if it was any other team, you would view it as a meaningless game, so it doesn't really matter. But to still grind out and go for, you know, and, you know, rally his back to win, you know, and for him to rush for the what was the game-winning touchdown and then complete to Atwell, it was, wasn't it, for the two-point conversion to then win the game. You know, like, as you're saying, Andy, the guy showed that he can basically get the team to rally and, you know, to keep us in games like that.
Yeah,
If Stafford was to be out or, you know, or rested or whatnot.
Yeah, you know, even the interception wasn't really his fault. It was deflected off the receiver's hands and just sort of went up. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the ball would have hit the deck before he managed to dive and catch it on the floor. You know, this was the 1 out of 10 that, unfortunately, he just managed to get his fingertips to it in time.
Well, that's it. Like you said, it was tipped. It wasn't like he threw it straight to them.
No.
And it's like, that was an awful throw. It was just one of those ones, isn't it, I guess? But, I mean, overall, like, well, like you said, we've got this cap space and that, so we could, in theory, like you could say, yeah, let's get him signed up, not, but it's not as simple as that, because you've got to look to the likes of guys like Kevin Dotson, who we will absolutely be like, we'll be absolutely nuts not to get this guy tied up, because
I'm honestly, you know, surprised we haven't already. It would have been priority one for me as well. All right, mate, you know what? Let's just get you sorted out before the season's even over.
That's,
you know,
it.
We did Tyler Higbee. It should have been Higbee's done. Right, okay. A week or two later, right, Dotson, you say it's dotted line sign. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Job done. Before he even gets the chance to hit free agency, where some team's probably going to put the price up by, you know, $4-5 million a year cap hit.
Yeah, just in time.
You know, yeah, like, done.
For me, unless there's anyone else that you think would be deserve more, for me, he is the first guy that we need to get re-signed. You know,
he is.
As soon as we're done here, because the change we've seen in the offensive line from last year to this year, you know, and that the main change, I suppose, really is that we've brought in Avia, who's played every single snap this season, yeah. And you know, and has been largely overlooked for that. You know, they get, but I suppose it's one of those ones, if you're not talking about your offensive line, then they're doing their job, I guess.
But yeah.
Dotson, they are talking about him because the guy has been graded that well. He's having his best year of his career so far. Like, we've got to get that. We've got to get him tied up. You know, we're going to have the money there. Spend it, invest in that offensive line, because thanks to guys like him, thanks to guys like Avia, we can then have a running game, and Kyren Williams would have been absolutely annihilated with last year's offensive line, as opposed to what we've got there now. Get that line tied up, shored up, get like, and then like our offense next year could literally just go off in one.
Yeah, you know,
because we'll only improve it. Put it that way.
Yeah, and look at Stafford. When he has a good offensive line, he's successful because he's had that time to sit in the pocket.
Exactly.
You know, and basically be like, okay, I'm not having to go 1-2 crap throw. Right, it's 1-2 cup. Oh, there he is, throw. He's had time to read out, you know, defenses better. And, you know, it's shown in his game this year. You know, Stafford's always going to be one of them. He's always going to have those few dodgy throws where you're thinking, you know, what the heck is he doing? You know, what was he looking at? What was he thinking? But that's just Stafford throughout his career. You know, he's never going to change that. He's very much a gung-ho, aggressive, go-for-it sort of quarterback at times. Now, I think this year he has calmed down a little bit. I'll give him that. He seems to have calmed down a little bit, and he is willing to take more of the check downs, the shorter routes. He's not looking for, you know, the Hollywood glory pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always that in this game that he wants to do that.
Yeah, just when I was saying about, like, we're talking about Stafford getting more time on the ball. Do you know he was actually sacked more this year than he was last year?
Really?
Granted, he played less games last year.
I was going to say that you think he played half the amount of games he did last year, so, you know.
But I mean, in theory, would have got sacked more, yeah. He gets sacked 30 times this year. He gets sacked 29 times last year, so I guess if you say, like, if you kind of project out what he would have got, it would have been a lot more. And he gets sacked 30 times. He gets sacked 30 times in his first season as well.
Yeah.
So
what happened then? So, you know.
Well, no, I don't know what we're talking about there, mate. But the point remains. Like, we've solved the problems with the offense, the offensive line. Stafford, even though he's got more banged up than he was when he first came in to the team. Because he's got the more time on the ball, he can actually read defenses, he can watch plays develop, and that's where guys like the man we're about to come on and talk about have been able to go out and actually just blaze a trail. And that man, of course, is Puka Nacua, who did something this week, didn't he, Andy?
He feed some garbage record that nobody cares about. Ooh, no, wasn't it 2 garbage records he passed, you know? No, seriously, that dude is something else.
All we kind of run up to the game. Did you notice, like, the Rams Twitter account was like posting videos like from the draft house?
Yeah.
About like McVay and Snead talking about Puka. And there was analysts going on about like how the Rams actually came to scout and draft him, and why the Rams, because we seem to have got, we've got a system. And from the, don't even, obviously I'm not going to tell you what the system is for what they're actually scouting for, right? But it's looking at things that, like, how fast they actually run during the play, stuff like that. Because, like, well, we don't really give a damn what the combine stats are like. You know, there's guys that were running like about 4.2 or whatever, and, like, you know, as a wide receiver, they're doing nothing. That doesn't actually transfer. When you've got the pads and you're on the helmet on, you've got that extra weight. Whereas when they were second in the crew, they seen something different. He was actually faster with the pads on.
Yeah, some players are the faster with the pads on. And don't forget as well, what people seem to forget is when he ran his 40 time, he was injured.
Yep.
So, you know, he was carrying an injury already. So that was, but yeah, some players play faster on the field than they ever do, you know, in a gym, you know, with trainers and, you know, t-shirt on. It's just the way they are. And, you know, especially for a wide receiver, it's not just straight line speed. You know, you look at the guy who's the fastest ever, John Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Great. He can go in a straight line very quickly. Ask him to run a deep post or, you know, a switch back. You know, he couldn't do it. They can't, you know, a lot of them can't run routes like, you know, Puka can. Puka can, you know, run routes. He's got, as we see, clearly seeing this, you know, quite a bit of speed this season as well, you know, game speed. You know, like I say, this is his rookie year. You know, he's still got things that, you know, he needs to clean up. You can't argue that he's a perfect wide receiver. You know,
no.
I think, like I said a few weeks ago, you know, I watched an analyst and he said, you know, he does still telegraph certain things that he's got to clean up with his body. So if he can get those cleaned up, the guy is literally going to be unstoppable for years to come.
Yeah.
You know, we'll seriously, when it comes to re-signing, he's going to get the bag big time. He might be the most expensive wide receiver ever if he keeps his trajectory as he currently is.
Fingers crossed we've got the cap space to keep them there. But
I think the team will want to make sure they've got the cap space.
Yes. But as I said a few times, Nacua is Kupp's replacement as wide receiver one. If he continues on the path he's set for himself from year one. But just looking at his stats, because I thought handy to have his stats for the season in terms of the breakdown. So he was 105 receptions, breaking the record for the season. 1,486 yards receiving, breaking the records. He averages 14.2 yards per catch, with his longest catch being 80 yards, which didn't go for a touchdown, believe it or not. And he had six receiving touchdowns. But like when you actually look at the breakdown of the games, so 119 yards against the Seahawks, 147 against the 49ers, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite impressive in itself against them, because we usually struggle with them. 72 against the Bengals, 163 against the Colts, where they got the, you know, the game-winning touchdown. 71 against the Eagles, 26 against the Cardinals, 154 against the Steelers, 43 against the Cowboys, 32 against the Packers. You know, at this point in the bye week, everyone was kind of thinking, well, maybe he's kind of, right, that's, he's kind of the, you know, the shine, the novelty is wearing off.
I think as well, we were worried that teams were starting to figure him out defensively.
Yeah.
And, you know, picking up on those, like I said earlier, those markers that he's going to break right, he's going to break left, he's going to cut back, he's going to cut back for the ball, you know, and we were worried that teams were picking up on those signals.
Yep. So post bye came out, 70 against the Seahawks. 27 against the Cardinals. He only managed what 53 yards against the Cardinals over the whole season. Like the Cardinals were the team that seemed to have kind of gotten pegged down. And that was off what 4 receptions and it's 8 receptions out of 2 games. Then it was 105 against the Browns, 84 against the Ravens, 50 against Commanders, 164 against the Saints, 118 against the Giants, and then 41 against the 49ers. But obviously, that 41st yards was his last catch of the game, and he was straight off because the job was done.
Yeah. Did you see the sideline of McVay when he found that? He's like, get him off. He's done. He's done for them, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think he was annoyed that it wasn't done by half and he could...
Respect to McVay for putting him out there to go for it, because a lot of our coaches would have been like, no, I know you've got a chance of breaking this all-time record, but next week matters more to us. So I think it's one of those ones. A lot of people I've seen from the Discord server were like, just throw screen passes to him to get the receptions and let him grind the yards that way. Just like, don't be like launching it down where he could get taken out or whatever, or like, you know, turns the wrong way and then does his ACL and then that's it. Like,
I think again, the Whiners, they were basically double teaming him, so it was
difficult.
You know, they weren't going to let him have the record for cheap and just go, just get it over and done with. You know, it was very much a case if he had to earn that record And I think that was a better way of doing it, is having to earn that, rather than the whiners just going, yeah, there's your catch, there's your catch, there's your yards. Right, okay, you're going bye-bye. I think it feels better him actually having to physically earn it and, you know, get the record like it should be, you know, the correct way, rather than just giving them it for the sake of, because, you know, you'd only have people moaning, they just gifted them that. Whereas in this game, you know, nothing was gifted and it was his skill and his abilities that, you know, got him the record.
Yep. I mean, the other thing to kind of look at with Puka is like some of these games, like 118 yards off of five catches is pretty good. 105 off of four is pretty good. You know, like, the guy is capable of racking up the yards off of nothing. Like, against the Browns, like granted, like, it was four for 105 yards. One of those catches was 70 yards.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, well, he's one of these guys, he'll catch the ball, and even if he's tackled instantly, because of how he plays, he'll always fall forward to get those extra couple of yards. Or, you know, how many times this year have we seen him with, like, those angry runs where he'll just keep charging through, you know, and break tackles and get after people. You know, he's not afraid of the contact. Some wide receivers will go, right, catch it, fall to the floor, I don't want to get hit. He's like, yeah, bring it on. Now, whether that's something he can sustain long term, you know, you don't know. But, you know, that's just, he's definitely one of those angry runners that just keeps going no matter what, and even drags people with him when he's been hit to get, you know, those extra few yards every play. It always feels like whenever he catches the ball, he's always going to get 3, 4, 5 yards extra because of just how he plays. It's very rare that he's stopped straight away when he does catch it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good at, he's kind of good at kind of breaking the tackle or evading the tackle like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. Anything else? Oh, well, sorry, actually, I was before all going to be on it, please. So Puka obviously was named Offensive Rookie of the Month for December/January, and Kobe Turner has been named the Defensive Rookie for the Month. And I think the Rams Twitter account, if I'm not wrong here, Andy, actually put out that, don't know when the last time the same team had both offensive and defensive rookies in a month named.
Oh, God knows. I don't think I've seen it for quite some time. So, you know, it's quite a really nice privilege. And fair play for Kobe Turner as well on the spike, trying to intercept the ball as it was on its way down. That was a fair bit of ingenuity. I'd have laughed myself so hard if that had come off. But, you know, I think you do have to give, you know, a little bit of a shout out to the defense for certainly the second half performance. They locked, you know, backups against backups. They locked them down second half, and, you know, some players made some big plays again when we needed it. Obviously, Hoyt got a sack. Deshaun Johnson, Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah, well, yeah, Michael Hoyt, Mr. LA. You know, Mr. Irrelevant for this year. Johnson got a sack, and obviously Baron Young got a sack and fumble recovery as well. You know, so, you know, again, players, you know, obviously, you know, Hoyt and Young are more, you know, starters, but, you know, even some of the guys stepping in, you know, Johnson getting, you know, a sack and looking good. If we could just sort our secondary out, you know, we maybe have a competent unit. And obviously, I think one more thing we do need to shout out is Ernest Jones, who's now the LA Rams single season tackle record holder. You know, so the guy has come a long way. You know, obviously took that year out with Bobby Wagner to pick up some of the intricacies of the game, and, you know, has now broke a record himself. And I think, obviously, with Puka's record, it's kind of been overshadowed, but I do think it needs to be highlighted.
Absolutely. Absolutely does. He's had a tremendous season for us. And Ernest Jones is one of those guys that, you know, Aaron Donald has said that this guy's an absolute stud in the making. He's got so much promise and potential. And, you know, AD's even said that, no, he will realise it. It's not a case of, oh, is he going to be that good? AD's said, no, this guy is going to be that good for us.
I think, you know, even analysts now are starting to pick up on Ernest Jones as, you know, an up-and-coming linebacker, especially after this year.
Yeah.
I think it was Good Morning Football, was it last week, I think, you know, one of, I can't remember if it was Schrager, I think it was Peter Schrager actually, was highlighting what Jones has done this year, and he was basically saying this guy is now borderline top 10, between sort of top 5, top 10 linebacker in the league for what he's done this year. You know, his projection is only going to go up if he continues.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice to see some recognition for players who maybe, you know, aren't getting the recognition that they probably should deserve.
Yep, no, absolutely. And it's one of those ones, like, when you look at like, say, guys like Jones, and you're like, sorry, even just look around, you're like, say, Jones, you got Byron, you got Kobe Turner, you know, to less extent, Hoyt as well. You're like, defensive line, linebacker core, we're starting to build a decent core of players there. And if we could just get the secondary sorted out, which fingers crossed we'll do in free agency, we'd be back to having a very formidable defence again, wouldn't we, Andy?
Yeah, exactly. We're not that many pieces. You know, at the start of the season, it was, oh my God, you know, we've got so many holes in the defence. You know, and this is where a lot of analysts were saying it wasn't offensively, it was defensively. You know, it was whether Stafford can stay healthy, and this defence is just going to be like a leaking ship. It's just going to leak everything left, right, and, you know, and players have stepped up in big roles, you know, and I do think, like I've said previously, I think if we could get a true number one edge rusher alongside Young, and, you know, maybe another linebacker alongside Jones, and then, you know, a corner or two, potentially, you know, to step up into those roles, you know, that we're a complete defense again. You know, we are getting that way. And, you know, we still have some players as well who haven't really had much game time. You know, Trey Tomlinson has not had a chance this year. I'd like to maybe, you know, I don't understand how Kendrick gets game time week in, week out. And they just don't seem to, you know, Tomlinson doesn't mean, you know, whether it was maybe they feel he needs a year's coaching on certain things before they're going to launch him in next year. But, you know, it's just that there's still players, let's say, who we don't know about as well, which is promising.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of these guys can step in next year and, you know. And I think as well, another one I don't think we've really mentioned much is Rush Yeast. He seems to, at the moment, they've seemed to have played him in that nickel corner sort of role. And he's, you know, he made an couple of important punch outs this week that, you know, potentially could have been game winning, you know, plays. And over the last few weeks has played well in that role. So, you know, again, guys with a bit more experience, maybe he can knock down the nickel corner. You know, that Jalen Ramsey sort of role that we had him last year, that star nickel role. You know, maybe that's another position we've already got fixed and sorted.
Maybe. Anything else you want to say, Andy, before we start looking ahead to the playoffs?
Let's just not have any kicking controversies, please, because Mayer missing that extra point. It's just like, oh, here we can go again. The only good thing is the Wyoming's kicker missed a field goal and an extra point. So hopefully, if we do meet them again, that'll be the outcome.
Yeah. You know,
but it is a worry that we've still not got this kicking stuff sorted out, and we're now in the playoffs where kicking matters. You know, that point is the potential between, you know, or a missed field goal is the potential between getting through to the next round and going out, you know. And also in the back of McVay's mind, it's got to be, do I go for this fourth down?
Or
do I kick the field goal and maybe take the points? You know, in playoffs, points matter more than anything else.
Absolutely, and that is a worry. So moving on, folks, and obviously coming up this week, it's the playoffs, and we are not, as we said last week, surprisingly, we're not here to talk about just the playoffs in general. We're here to be talking about the Rams in the playoffs. So, with everything wrapped up, the way it worked out is we are going to Detroit, and it seems to be a case of the NFL script leaks were true. Imagine if Stafford went back to Detroit. So, it's this Sunday, but really it's Monday for us over here in the UK, 1 o'clock in the morning. Worst time of the week. Doesn't it, Andy, to have a game?
It is what it is.
And based off, like, all the games that are out there, like, because of the story behind it, I immediately thought, no, this is a prime time slot game, because the story writes itself. Stafford's going back to Detroit. Goff is now in Detroit. His old team are coming back. You know, it kind of plays into that, you know. So, yeah, Andy, going to Detroit for starters. How, in general, how do you feel about having to go to Detroit as opposed to going to Dallas, for example?
I think I'd rather go to Detroit than Dallas, personally. I feel, you know, it's a better game for us, obviously. You know, the storyline writes itself, as you've said, mates. And oh, I just can't wait for this game now. It's, you know, I can't wait. I'm actually going to sit up and watch it live because, you know, I do feel it's going to be a tough game. But it's very much of which defense can play better, ours or theirs, because both defenses have exactly the same issues, which is the secondary. Their secondary gets torched. You know, they got torched over two games, they allowed Nick Mullins to throw for over 800 yards in two games.
Oh, my God.
You know, so their secondary is just as dodgy as ours. So it's going to be either which secondary can step up and play better or, you know, which offense can just get that edge. And I do feel when it comes to playoff situation, our experience is going to be the key factor. We will cope with the emotions better. And obviously, you know, Detroit started their starters and they've got one or two potential big injuries that they may have to live without, which could potentially put a bit of a wrinkle
Sam
in their game.
Is Sam out?
They've not said if he's out yet. He's questionable at the moment with a knee injury. Again, I think that's very much going to be, they're going to try all the way through till basically game time, and then they'll make the decision at game time what he'll do. But I think people don't realise that's quite a big piece missing for Detroit, especially for Goff. It's his safety blanket. If he can't play.
You know, just looking at the report now, he didn't practice, but did some on-field work, is what they've said. Their cornerback, Jerry Jacobs, was downgraded. He's got a fine injury. Their only other no-practice were Terry Bridgewater and Caliph Raymond. That's all they had. So that's the latest. That's from this evening, that injury report. So that's the up-to-date one. Ours is currently not out, I believe, just to see. No. But I don't think, to be honest, there's anyone that we are overly worried. So, in fact, here we go. I've got one. Well, it's not the up-to-date one for this evening, but the latest one. I mean, Dotson was limited yesterday in practice with a shoulder issue, questionable. Fuller and Higbee were both questionable. Sean Jolly's out. Hunter Long's out. Not really bothered about them, I'd say. Joe Noteboom, questionable with his foot. He didn't practice yesterday. Troy Reader, hadn't been questionable. He's questionable in general. Let's put it that way, folks.
In fairness, though, in the Wilders game, he played okay up until he got injured. I'll say that much. He didn't look as bad as he used to. I think maybe a season or two of being elsewhere has helped them.
So I mean, there's no one on our injury report. Dotson being questionable, is Dotson's the only one I would be worried about, but it's likely it'll be a game time decision. I reckon he'll play anyway, but there's no one else like, oh, we're going to be without X, Y, and Z. You know, like you said, Laporta looking like he could be out for them is a bit of a hit for him, because he's been like a kind of a good player for them this year, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just going to be, you know, but I do, like I said, I do feel that out of the two teams, I think this is a matchup out of all the playoff teams, outside of obviously the Bucks, who, you know, I think is the team you'd want to go against. And I do feel, like I say, the occasion may either get to Detroit, Stafford and some of the players' experience will just win the game.
Yep. And like you said, I think our experience will do us well here, because like we've been there, we've done it, we've been to the Super Bowl, you know, twice, you know, in the last like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those times, like the first time we weren't expected to get there, but we got there. We went on the road to get there as well. We went to an inhospitable place to win the NFC. So we've got experience. Like this guy's still in the roster from back then, that know what it's like to go on the road to win in playoffs games. And then we've got the guys that have been on the roster for the last couple of years that were there when we won it in our own backyard. You know, so there's a wealth of experience there in the roster for us to go out there. And I'm not going to say anymore that it's shock, because I don't think it would be a shock for us to beat the Lions on Sunday. I think, like you said, both the teams are, I think it's a fair assessment to say both teams are on the kind of same level as each other in terms of their weaknesses. But I would say that without a doubt, we are the stronger team because we are in form, you know, at the moment as well. The Lions kind of started falling away as well. You know, granted, they were cheated out of a win against the Cowboys, but that's beside the point. We are a team that's still on the up. We're performing well. And we're going to have, you know, the likes of Stafford, Cup, Aaron Donald, who have had the equivalent of a second bye week to get ready for this.
That is the only thing that does worry me, is because I think they put a statistic up, and apparently quarterbacks who've played the final week of the season and to ones who've been rested, is the win rate is a lot lower for quarterbacks who've been rested than players who've played the final game of the season. So that is something that worries me, that we, you know, Stafford was on a roll. He was, you know, it was rolling pretty much apart from one game. He'll be a bit out of the flow. He'll be, you know, maybe not going to say rusty, but it might, you know, a drive or two to get back in that flow. And, you know, Detroit does have the capability of those two drives that were ineffective. They could be two scores up and then all of a sudden you're chasing a game.
And it's a fair point. You mentioned something similar to that last week, and I'd say that at the time, but look at us when we went into the bye week as opposed to when we came out of the bye week. It was like a completely different Stafford. But it's a very valid point, because he's basically been, you know, 2021 Matthew Stafford pretty much again. You know, we've seen that regardless of any injuries, he's still capable of being that guy. It's a very valid point that taking him out last week, it's understandable why, because Boston won. On my play and to be fully fit and healthy going to this game. But it's a valid point why it's like, that's a big risk to take, especially going on the road as well. If we were at home, I'd probably feel a bit different about it, because I said, well, we've got the home crowd behind us, you've got the encouragement and whatnot. But, you know, what it's kind of not, I can't really say what kind of atmosphere he's going to go into going to Ford Field, you know, so obviously he spent so many years there in Detroit. But one thing I did pick up on, and it was as soon as the clock hit zero in our game, was the amount of salty Stafford comments and posts getting put online by Lions fans, Andy. You and I talked about this briefly when you were on the Discord just the day before. And you were saying about, like, but he did ask for a trade in the end. And it's like, I could understand why you'd be annoyed that he's turning and saying, I want to go. But are the Lions fans justified in turning around and some of them going, boycott Stafford, do not wear his jersey, boo the hell out of him, given all the years and the sacrifices the guy gave their team?
I can kind of understand, because obviously you want your team to win now, you know, and you want, we all know, if you go into a hostile environment, a loud environment as a quarterback, you know, it's harder for you. You know, you can't get the play calls off properly. You're having to do silent counts and everything else. So I do think a little bit of it is over the top, but, you know, like I said in Discord, if, you know, we'd have gone to the Super Bowl, lost, and Aaron Donald then said, I want to be traded, and he went to, say, Detroit, just as an example, and now this season we're playing Detroit, I'd be like, well, fuck Donald, he's on the opposition, you know, I want my team to win, let's make life hell, you know, for him, for this one game, as much as what he's done for us, once you leave, you know, you're the enemy for that one game, you know, get down me wrong, I still have a lot of thing for Jared Goff, but in this game, I couldn't give a crap about him. I want him to get. I want Aaron Donald to be able to do what he never was able to do for years, and that is to beat the living daylights out of the guy. You know, crush his soul. After this week, great, you know, I'll be back to. You know, I like Goff. I think he's a good player. You know, but for this one game, I don't care about him. You know, and I do think that is some of the feeling of, you know, Detroit fans is, well, sorry, Stafford's the past. This is the future. We want to win. Yeah. We want to progress in the playoffs. So, like I say, I do think some of it is a little bit over the top what they're saying, but at the same time, I can understand the sentimentality behind, you know, he's the opposition this week. You know, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't matter to us. He's not a line anymore.
Yeah, it's different. I guess it's different as if it's a regular season game.
Yeah. You know, when we played them in the regular season, they were nothing but, you know, love for Stafford, and you know, there wasn't any, all right, it was at our ground, but you know, Detroit do tend to travel well. You know, there was not, none of that. It's a home field advantage, their first playoff game in what, 30 odd years at home.
Yeah, 30 years. 1993 was the last time,
I think.
In fact, the last time they won, it was the division setup was totally different. It was still the only three, it was three divisions per conference back then.
But, you know, I think, you know, let them make all this noise, and, you know, it's going to make it all the more sweeter when Stafford goes in on, well, Monday morning for us, whoops their arseholes, wins the game, and then basically goes, you know, and then they'll all come crawling back to loving Stafford again. And that's the way I look at it. I'm not letting it bother me because, yeah, it's just noise. You know, it is just noise. Be like, you know, whatever.
Like, I think for me it was the, Literally, as the clock hit zero in our game, it was straight to that rather than like, let's get fired up about the game, let's get behind it and all that. It was more like instant being just salty towards one player as opposed to like, because if when we went through our kind of dark phase where we weren't making the playoffs, like, regardless of who we were coming up against, you know, that first year getting back to the playoffs, our fan base would have been more like, we're in the fucking playoffs again, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, get where they're coming from and get where what those feelings is coming from, but channel a bit better. Yeah. Like, I get he's going to be your enemy. You know, I'm sitting here with a golf jersey on. This is one of my favourite jerseys. I love the classic throwback one. You know, I've got a lot of admiration for golf for what he did in his time, the Rams. Don't wish him any ill. I hope he gets beat this week, but that's it. I'm not going to sit and go, look, fuck Goff. That man cost us a Super Bowl. That man cost us so many wins. You know, mugger by that. It's the, like I said, the past is the past. With me moved on from him, yous have moved on from him. Yous have got your guy. You're calling him your fucking guy now. You know, some of them are putting it as their, you know, their banner and their header, you know, in their bio. You know, Goff has found his feet at Detroit. Be happy for your Goff rather than what you had with Stafford. Stafford moved on. Yeah. He wanted to move on. He got what he wanted out of it. You guys got what you wanted out of it. You've got your franchise quarterback without a shadow of a doubt. And you've been able to amass a few other players, you know, to strengthen your team. Thanks to that Stafford trade, I would say that's the reason why the Lions are where they are now. Thanks to Stafford leaving.
Yeah, I will say one thing though. A lot of Detroit fans have basically, these groups that have been coming out, you know, especially the one with like the banned Stafford shirts, have basically been like, shut the fuck up. You know,
there is a lot of them come out saying, fuck you.
Yeah, there is a lot of Lions fans. I think it's just the usual idiots who, let's be honest, every team has those idiots who, you know, are very much, you know. Look at us. There's been a lot, you know, there's been certain fan groups who've taken great delight in mocking the crap out of Bobby Wagner. You wanted to go to a playoff team and you didn't even make it, and look where we are. You know, is it right? Is it wrong? You know, we can't very well moan about, you know, them doing this to Stafford, and then we'd go and do the same thing to like Wagner. It's kind of like, well, it's some of it's banter, some of it is just idiots are always going to be idiots no matter what, especially when it comes to sports, you know. And I think I think Stafford will go into there, he'll get a warm welcome before the game starts. The minute the game starts, then it'll be booing and noise because that'll be it. And then at the end of the game, whatever happens,
that's it.
Fans will be, you know, moving.
I mean, Stafford did come out and say the day after the Winers win that he's very much looking forward to going back to Detroit. I think he pretty much said that it was the game he was hoping to get as opposed to, you know, wanting to get. You know, in terms of like whatever he thought, like, I want to play this team because I think I've got a better chance. That was the game he was hoping to get because he wants that chance to go back to Detroit as well because he's got so much history there. You know, and the guy, you know, like with how that Lions team had been over the years, the guy was a shining light for them for so many years. So, you know, it's natural he's going to always have that affinity there. And like, I get that, it's going to be a bit of booing and whatever or not. But like, for the most part, I think you're right, Andy, that, you know, but like, it's Matthew Stafford, you know, like, gave all these years to, did so much for the community and whatnot. Like, he's not a Ram at heart. You know, he's always going to be like a Lion at heart. And it's one of the ones he'll probably end up going back there and retire. You know what? So it's a bit, like you said, every fan base, I guess you're right, has got it. Like, it's just a bit shitty that people are more driven by wanting to hate the guy more than, you know, focusing on your team's in the playoffs for the first time in 30 years, guys. Come on, focus on that.
You've got to remember, you know, the negativity stuff is always going to overwrite the positive stuff for every positive news stories, you know, of can't wait to see Stafford, you know, but I hope he loses. That doesn't get you clicks on it on Twitter or Facebook.
No, you know, no, it's not going to be
Stafford. I hate the guy. Let's smash him up and don't wear his jerseys. He's getting you the clicks on Facebook, you know, on X. And, you know, for a lot of these guys, you've put things like, for example, the Stafford thing, you know, they want the clicks because they get paid for those clicks. Every time they have an engagement, they get cash for that click, you know. So they've got to put things out just for the sake of putting out for the clicks. But like I say, I do think a lot of, you know, genuine fans are looking forward to this game, obviously for the Lions fans hoping he gets beat, but, you know, and their team progresses. But, you know, for us it's the opposite. We want to, you know, do well, a couple of sacks from Aaron Donald and everyone will walk away happy.
Yep. That was the next thing I wanted to ask is, what do we have to do to win this game, Andy? Apart from obviously put points on the board, you know, score touchdowns, what in terms of the game plan do we need to focus on?
Stop the run. That is the first thing we've got to do. We cannot allow, you know, Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs to run all over us because that is predominant of Green Bay's game, much like us. They're very much a run first, which leads to the pass. You know, so get the run stopped, put it on Goff's arm, and then get the pressure on Goff, because Goff, when he's under pressure, as we all know, struggles.
Yeah. He can't scramble for the life of him.
He can't move. He's a bit like Stafford. He can't move.
Yeah.
He's mobile enough to do things like playoffs, you know, play action screens and play action boots and stuff like that, but he's not mobile enough. He's not Lamar Jackson, who's going to, oh crap, you know, the pocket collapse and I'll spin out and run for 20 yards.
Yeah.
You know, but if you just put the guy under pressure, he sends to, you know, where he's having to read the field a little bit quicker. You know, teams that have been successful against Detroit this year have, you know, very much blitzed him, you know, blitz stunts, you know, just put him under pressure, which is then causing him to have those turnovers, you know, because he's got to read the field. And we saw that ourselves when he was with us, Goff, when he had time. Was great. Goff when he was under pressure because, you know, the pocket's collapsing and, you know, you can feel the guy, you know, the edge rusher behind him, you can feel him, even though he might not be there, he can just sense, you know, he's coming up. You know, and our secondary just needs to hold up, you know, against the likes of Armand Ra St. Brown. You know, we've got to stop that guy as well. If Laporte is playing, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But if we can get, you know, our front four or five, whatever we want to do, getting onto staff, you know, onto Goff's backside, getting him rushed. And then obviously, you know, offensively, we've just got to do our game plan, which, you know, again, like I say, both teams match up very well with their strengths and their weaknesses. We're both very, very similar teams. And I think one thing I've just remembered that I needed to highlight as well, since the trade, Goff and Stafford have basically got identical records.
I saw that earlier today, and it was because, so you're talking there, like, I think it's for both teams, I think it's fair to actually say that it's a very evenly matched game. I think it's only we're 3-point underdogs going into this game. It's that close that unfortunately it would be marked as a fucking field goal, wouldn't that? Like, in terms of the margin, wouldn't that? And that's a worry that it's going to come down to, like, basically the kicking game, because the teams, like, offensively and defensively are almost pretty much evenly matched.
Yeah, you know, if you look at us, our defensive line, it's Aaron Donald, and then, you know, you've got obviously Kobe Taylor's coming out, Baron Young to a certain extent, Hoyt is there or thereabouts. You look at Detroit's defensive line, it's Aiden Hutchinson. Then you've got Aleem McNeil if he's healthy, and then again a couple of bit part players, you know, who, you know, aren't going to be double digit, you know, 20 sack guys a year. We match very similar.
Yeah,
they may have a slight advantage on our offensive line, but I think our guards are better than. I think their tackles are better than our tackles, but our guards are better than their guards. So, you know, it's very much. But where Aaron Donald's going to be is right down the middle, you know, in the guard center area, which is where they are the weakest. So, you know, hopefully he can get some success there. And our secondaries, like I said before, match up very, very well against each other. They're basically identical to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's going to come down to who can get the run game going the best and who can get the deep shots off as well.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and I do feel when it comes to the crunch that Stafford will have the better chance over Goff, like I say, with any luck, you know, but we'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a run. I think it's going to be a tense game, and I think it is going to be, you know, a very close game as well. I really do feel it is potentially going to come down to field goal, or, you know, which defense is on last and who can get the stop, you know, a potentially defensive stop, you know. And
I'd kind of say, like, I know that the kind of margin is, it's like 3 points, you know. I think it'll definitely would be within a touchdown of each other. I think it'll be very tight. I don't think it'll be a high scoring game. I think it'll probably be somewhere in the region of kind of like the 20-21 that we just had there at the weekend. So, like, that kind of margin, I think it could potentially be that close.
See, I feel the opposite. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I could see this being 30, 35 points each team. And, you know, it's going to be, because of how bad our secondaries are, I think both teams will find a bit of success, you know, against each other's secondaries. You know, I do think it could be a, and for the neutral, I think it could be quite an entertaining game for a neutral perspective. For us, it's probably going to be a nerve-wracking. Luckily, I don't have any hair left to pull out, but unfortunately for you, John, you may be coming on next week as bald as I am.
I hope not, mate. I hope not. I hope I'm coming on next week with a big, massive grin on my face. All in all, though, I think that... I know we're both kind of saying that the teams are evenly matched. I would like to think that we do have the edge on them, even though we're marked down as the underdogs. And I think it's because of the likes of Kobe Turner where I think we do have the edge, because, like you're saying, they're weak down at the guard, where Aaron Donald's going to be coming right down. They're going to shift their offensive line to counteract that, but not counteract Kobe Turner or even Byron Young. I think that those two guys in defense could be what makes the difference for us this weekend.
Yeah,
offensively, I have no worries whatsoever, as long as, you know, Stafford's not got any rust, like you're saying, you know, on him from being there. We've got Kyren Williams, who can literally just blaze a trail out there. He can run through fire, that guy, the way he's looking right now.
Is Detroit, I think, top five run defense team? So it's a difficult team to run on. I will say that much. They are a difficult team to run on. But this is where, again, I want to see McVay. So what if Williams is only grinding out 2-3 yards at a time? We've got to keep pounding the rock on first and second down to set up, you know, some play action stuff and what have you. Because if McVay goes to the pass, like he tends to do when the run game isn't working well, it could cause us issues. You know, we need to keep Aiden Hutchinson sort of second guessing, and more importantly, their linebackers as well, second guessing the run game.
Yeah.
And we can't be allowing them, because Detroit do like to blitz their linebackers as well. You know, the middle linebacker, they'll normally blitz one, sometimes both of them. You know, so we've got to make sure we don't allow them to do that. We've got to keep their linebackers ideally off the line, sort of, you know, 5-10 yards away, because they're worried about the run game.
So what you're saying is really the run game is probably more key for us.
Both teams. Like I say, both teams match up perfectly. Both teams, if they get the run game going and they're grinding out the yards on the run game, it opens up the rest of the playbook. If both teams have to go into a drop back passer constantly, like we've seen, both teams struggle. That's what I say. Both teams match up so well to each other. It's kind of scary just how well the teams... I think this is the playoff game with the teams, two teams that match up so bloody well to each other in terms of what their strengths are. Both teams are exactly the same strengths, and what their weaknesses are. Both teams have got exactly the same weaknesses. And it's like I say, it's just weird how we've both managed to draw against each other because of how similar we are, you know. And like I say, I think this is going to be a neutrals game of the week, and for us, it's going to be but I do feel overall our experience will get us the win, and I'm very confident that we'll be walking out of Ford Field with a win. And then depending on what happens to Green Bay, well, that might mean then the next game is a Winers game, and we'll come to that bridge when we cross it.
Yeah, we will. But I like your confidence, Andy, and I would like to bask in your confidence of the game. Not to say that I feel that we're going to lose. It's probably the most confident I've heard you all season about a game. So that's why I want to bask in it. But yeah, like yourself, I think we've got the edge to take this. Looking elsewhere at the playoffs, what I'm going to get you to do, Andy, is we'll actually kind of go through each game, and we'll see who we think is going to win it. And we'll just for fun, see how the playoff and the postseason is going to look based off how we look and feel. So elsewhere in the NFC, second seed Dallas Cowboys entertain 7th seed Green Bay Packers, and the 4th seed Tampa Bay Buccaneers entertain the 5th seed Philadelphia Eagles, which is quite funny to say that, because the Eagles were like so highly tipped to be, you know, 1 or 2. Andy, elsewhere in the NFC, what are you thinking in terms of the... Well, let's start with the Green Bay Cowboys game. Do you think Green Bay are going to cause an upset?
On paper, the Cowboys should win this hands down. However, this is the Cowboys. It is the playoffs, and we all know Mike McCarthy, one and done. Dak Prescott tend to have problems. And obviously, there's the storyline of Mike McCarthy going back to Green Bay after being the coach there for so long, and, you know, sort of get, you know, that. But it's not a game I'd bet on, but I just think, again, I think the Cowboys maybe can finally break that voodoo. And I think because of how young, again, Green Bay is, I think they'll just do enough to... I think Cowboys will just do enough. But I do think it could be a nervous, close game. But I wouldn't also be shocked if Green Bay did win it, to be brutally honest. You know, but I'm going to take the Cowboys on that one.
What is it they said about, like, Green Bay have got a kind of pattern of making the Super Bowl. So did like, to like draft like the replacement quarterback, then like start them, and then they make the Super Bowl. And I think the like, because they've done it, it was the same when Favre left and Rodgers came in and then made the Super Bowl, and then it's kind of the pattern is repeating again. I think it started with Favre, then it happened with Rodgers. Now it looks like it's happening again with Love. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Tampa Bay, Philadelphia. What are you thinking there?
Again, your head says it's got to be the Eagles. You know, they're a stronger team on paper. The Bucs have basically scraped in because they're in a crap division and have just not looked good the last few weeks. But, you know, the Eagles have slowly fell apart. And I believe it's Raymond James in Tampa.
It is, yeah, because they're the higher seeds. Yep.
Yeah, so that could be, you know, crowd factor. But again, I just think the Eagles should have enough quality just to get over the line on this one. But again, it's one of them again, much like the Green Bay game. It wouldn't shock me if the Bucs did do it, but
yeah,
no, I'm going to go with the Eagles just because I think.
Mm-hmm. So off of that would give us a divisional round of us traveling to play the Niners. Yeah. And the Eagles traveling to Dallas. So, all based on that, Andy, we're obviously beating the Niners. Let's just be honest there. So, we're beating the Niners. What about Dallas Eagles?
Oh, I think, again, I think this would
been be Dallas.
Yeah. You'd say Dallas should win this. But, you know, that this may be the game where they do choke it all and the Eagles, unfortunately, win it. So yeah, I'd go the Eagles to win that one.
Flipping over to the AFC, we've obviously just set up a Rams Eagles conference championship there. Yep. So in the AFC, so the 7th seeded Steelers, they're going to travel to Buffalo. The 6th seed Dolphins travel to Kansas, although they're trying their damned hardest to not have to travel to Kansas. I've been seeing because the temperature is going to be 0 degrees. And the Joe Flacco Browns are going to Houston, of all places. Andy, Steelers, Bills.
Bills.
The
Steelers, I don't know. They've got, the Steelers are a fraud, mate. They're the worst team in the playoffs, and I don't think the Bills are even going to have to. I think the Bills could start their B team or the C team, and they'd still beat the Steelers. I really do. That would be the greatest shock, I think, in NFL history if the Steelers win. I really do.
I've actually predicted the Steelers to win this game just because, fuck it, why not?
Fair enough.
Chiefs-Dolphins. I personally think the Chiefs purely because of the weather as opposed to anything else.
I know you said apparently, it's literally just been tweeted now, that apparently with wind chill factor at Kansas City, the wind chill is going to have it down to minus 30 with the wind chill.
Oh,
yeah, that's not nice.
For anyone listening, right? So, like, it's something like that's cold, right? For us over here across the pond, that's like Arctic Circle cold,
yeah,
in Europe. Like, and considering that Kansas is a lot further south. In the Arctic Circle, like, Jesus, man, that is cold.
I have a feeling that game's going to get moved because I think Dolphins will not, A, don't want to play that. I don't really think the Chiefs
will
play that.
No, they don't. They're trying to go to Indianapolis, I've seen.
Yeah.
They're pushing to go.
You know, I think for safety purposes, I don't think the league will allow it either if there's a safety issue, which I believe they're now saying if temps get to that, you can't have even fans. Fans will freeze in the stands. Because it's open air, isn't it? So, you know, there's a safety element.
But, I mean, that's been something that's been kind of a bit contentious about with like teams like Kansas, that with the extreme cold that they get, they really should have a dome, you know, or even just roofs, I guess.
Green Bay's the same, mate, and it's never, you know, Buffalo's the same, you know, they've all got open air stadiums. You know, because that element in playoffs does factor for them in their favour.
It does. You know, so we'll go off the basis that it's staying in Kansas.
If it stays in Kansas, the Chiefs, because I just don't think the Dolphins. But then I do think the Dolphins have got a nerve when they're the ones that have basically made their away sideline in the sun with 120 plus degree temperatures, you know. So yep. They kind of got a little bit of a cheek to moan. So yeah. I think if it stays in Kansas, I think the Chiefs, just because I don't think the Dolphins are going to cope with the cold, you know, and running the ball, you know, is going to be a lot harder. And I think the Chiefs' D-line is underrated in personally. I think their defensive line, as much as obviously Mahomes gets all the praise, the stats, you know, Mahomes and Kelsey, I think the only reason the Chiefs have made the playoffs this year is down to how good their defense is. I really do feel their defense.
So as I've mentioned a few times over the course of the year, like my wife, due to Taylor Swift, has been getting a budding interest in American football, and as part of that, she likes to see how the Chiefs are getting on. So I've been privy to some more of the Chiefs than I've ever been used to. And from watching them, especially in the last few weeks of the season, their offense is garbage.
Like, yeah, if they could have one wide receiver that could actually catch a ball, they'd actually be quite unstoppable. But unfortunately, even Travis Kelce's now starting to get the dropsy disease that seems to be going around their locker room.
That's it. And it's not even like a lot of the time it's basic catches. Yeah. That makes sense. It's like it's not like hard throws that Mahomes giving them. It's like simple catches, like not even ones, or sometimes not even ones like where they're on the run or have to try to turn as they catch it, you know. But you know, I think like you said, it's not down to their offense, like why they've, you know, somehow still been number three seeds. Yeah, but then again, the rest of the division isn't exactly the best, so it's been pretty easy for them, I guess, to finish as the, you know, the winners in the AFC West. Moving on to the last wildcard game in the AFC, the Texans hosting. This was a tougher one to kind of pick because you've got CJ Stroud has taken a team who picked second in the draft last year and taken them to the playoffs. Whereas you've got Joe Flacco, who's came, you know, for eating chips on the couch to taking the Browns to the playoffs. What do you think, Andy?
Again, I think it's a close game, but I think I'm going to take the Browns on this one, as I feel their defense is just going to smother, you know, the Texans. I don't think, you know, the Texans are just... They're building well, and it's the, you know, they've proven the correct formula for a rebuild. It's just tear the lot down. You know, I think a few teams this offseason really need to look at how they've done it and do the same thing. But I think the occasion and just the Browns defense is just going to be too much. You know, they played each other, was it Christmas Eve? And the Browns won 36-22. Now, admittedly, that was with Davis Mills as quarterback because CJ Stroud was out injured for that one, but I just, you know, feel that, like I say, the Browns defense again is just gonna smother CJ Stroud. They're gonna draw up, you know, that the Browns do like to, you know, disguise coverages, stunts, and everything else. And I think they're just gonna get a little bit too confusing this year for CJ Stroud, you know. But I do think this again, it's gonna be a close game. I think it'll be could be an entertaining game, but I do think, you know, the Browns, unfortunately, do win this one.
Okay, moving on to divisional rounds. That would see the Browns go to Baltimore and the Chiefs go to Buffalo. Ravens, Browns, for me, it'd be Ravens.
Yep,
it's a no-brainer. There's no even point in discussing it. Bills versus Chiefs, though, would be quite a different one. And I'm more inclined to say that the Bills would edge the Chiefs there.
That's exactly what my pick was going to be. I think the Bills will do this. I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, the game, I think Josh Allen and what they've got on offense will be enough to override, you know, their defense. Like, and I think they regular season, they beat them as well. So, you know, that plays a factor as well. So I do think, I'd take the Bills on that one.
I feel like it's a no-brainer, and it's like, considering they said that the Chiefs would beat the Dolphins, the reason I'd say that is based off the fact that they'd be beating the Dolphins in the cold, whereas they're basically coming up and basically another team that's in the cold. So on that basis, Buffalo are the better team because, the, like we've just seen there, the Chiefs' offense isn't exactly the greatest in terms of in the air and at the moment.
I think when it comes to the run game as well, I just feel, you know, a lot of people underrate Buffalo's run game as well. You know, I do think with James Cook, they found the running back, and, you know, obviously, you know, as much as, you know, Mahomes can run, you know, I think, you know, Josh Allen is a better runner, a physical runner who can grind out the yards better as well. So I think that would be the factor that wins it for me.
Yep. So that would set up a Bills-Ravens championship for the AFC. So what's your thoughts on that?
I'm going to take the Bills to win that one. I think that they defensively match up better. Again, offensively, I feel that the Bills outplay Baltimore's defense. Lamar, as much as, you know, we joke about, you know, Cowboys in the playoffs, Dak in the playoffs, Lamar in the playoffs, is that is a factor as well. You know, he's never, he's not very good in the playoffs, it seems, and I do feel the occasion would just get too much for them. I would take the Bills to scrape that one.
Okay, and over in the NFC, we are taking on the Eagles.
Yeah, us. I'm actually not afraid of the Eagles.
No. Given what the, and like that's not, it's taking, you know, the blue and the soul tinted specs off of the way the Eagles have been playing the last 5-6 weeks. They're 1-5.
Yeah,
we're 7-1.
Genuinely, the only team that worries me in the playoffs, and this is genuinely, is the, unfortunately, the Whiners. They're the only team that worries me. I wouldn't be bothered about going up against anybody else. And, you know, this is kind of where I'm hoping, you know, as much as I said the Cowboys will beat the Packers, I'm kind of hoping the Packers do it so that they then get to play the Whiners, which gives us another week of not having to play them. So then we can advance and then we'll play them again in the championship and, you know, kick their asses and go to a Super Bowl that way. That would make it even more sweeter. But, you know, that's why, you know, my heart wants Green Bay to do this as well.
Just to prolong that, you know, hot for them.
As the lower seed, they then get the Whiners.
Yep, and would it be sweeter to beat the Whiners for the conference championship in their own backyard than it was for us to beat them at ours? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, see, just on that, the play that sealed the win was almost a mirror image of the sack on Burrow in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like it was scary how it was, like, similar.
It was very similar as well to the one on Garoppolo in the as well. Yep. You know, so, you know, it was very much
so sweet. Back to this though. That sets us up with Rams Bills Super Bowl. We try to be unbiased here, Andy. If we were to come up against Buffalo in a Super Bowl, can we beat them?
Yeah, I don't see why not. If we've got all the way to a Super Bowl, mate, I'm not, like I say, I'm not scared of playing. Look what we did against Baltimore. You know, we basically took it all the way to overtime, and it was only our special teams let us down and couldn't tackle. Look, you know, potentially we lost that game. You know, that could have been a win. So, you know, when you get to the Super Bowl hype, I suppose one thing maybe hanging over Buffalo is the fact they went, was it four times and lost four times in a row? So, you know, maybe that demon hangs over their head. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe. Again, we're a team that has nothing to lose. We're not supposed to be there. We're not supposed to be here now. So what does it, you know, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be McVay's mentality of, well, we're here, let's enjoy it and go for it.
Well, that's it, and you know what? That's all the more reason why you say that it doesn't matter if it's a 1% chance, as they're trying to say it is, there is every chance that this Rams team, just as anyone else on a day, could win this. And, you know, on that bombshell.
anything can happen between, you know, now and then. You know, players can pick up an injury.
That's that, yeah.
You know, anything can happen. And, you know, bit of bad luck, a bad bounce, the luck of the playoffs, a missed field goal or something, you know. And, you know, how many times have games, you know, especially in playoffs, been decided by, you know, a missed PAT or a missed field goal or, you know.
Well, this season, it's scary how many games, but that's actually happened in the regular season where it's, there's been so many missed kickers, and we've talked about it so much this year that, there's every possibility that carries into the playoffs. And hopefully we can capitalise on that as opposed to other teams capitalising on it against us.
You know, anything can and does happen. It's the playoffs, you know.
That's the playoffs indeed, mate. But if there is anything else you want to talk about, mate?
The only thing that is just released by Madden, they've updated their ratings. Kyren Williams is now rated as an 84, who's gone up 19 points throughout the season. And Puka Nacua is an 83, who's gone up 16 points throughout the season. How the heck Kyren Williams can be above Puka Nacua, though, I don't quite understand, but there we go.
The rating system is totally flawed, obviously. Good for Williams to be rated that high, but if he's going to be an 84, then Puka's got to be higher than that, surely.
Yeah. Exactly, Puka should be 90 plus. You know, if they could put Justin Jefferson after the end of his rookie season at like a 90, you know, Akua should be well there and above him after what he's done this year. You know, so, but yeah, that's for anybody who plays Madden, you know. They've just released their updated records for the playoffs as to where they think players are.
Last thing on the playoffs, I'm going to be taking a screenshot of this just so you can see Andy yourself actually on the screen. It will be recorded what we predicted. And just so we can, you know, as the playoffs progress, because we're doing a playoff competition as well, folks, just amongst our community. So we'll obviously be talking about the playoffs in the next few weeks anyway. So we'll just keep track of how things are going. So that's our official LA Rams UK prediction, Andy. Should have disclaimed that first, see, mate, before we started picking.
Yeah, nah, fair enough, mate. That's fine. I'm quite happy with that.
Well, we're at the top of the tree at the end of it, so I'm more than happy with that.
Yep. You heard it here first, guys. We're going to win it all.
Yep. Ring number three is coming, folks. On that bombshell, Andy, mate, always been a pleasure to talk to you about the Rams. Looking forward to coming back next week and hopefully talking about us progressing to the divisional round.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting week in the NFL. You know, we've not even covered firings and leavings and everything else, you know, so we've, you know.
We've got all that still to come.
Yeah, but end of a dynasty, you know, team.
Yeah, but, you know, but as we've just said, folks, with the way we've predicted the plus, we're not going to have time to talk about any of that till you're talking mid-February, so we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I've been John, he's been Andy, folks. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Don't forget to check us out. The podcast streams live on Facebook X as well as YouTube. You can listen to us on all our usual channels, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, etc. It's all still there. Don't forget to give us a like, follow and subscribe, folks. But we'll catch you next week as we will review the wildcard weekend. So thanks a lot, folks. Take care and see you next week.